This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the fall classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Loud and Local continues on The Rock with Kevin Deers, 99.9 KISW.
Hey, what's going on? It is Loud and Local, and this time I have a band that has been seriously like waving the flag of the Northwest and keeping this music scene and kind of like just like holding it on its back and just like touring like crazy men all around the world. 2020 is when I think I talked to you guys.
Avoid
is the name of the band. Before I go any further, you know, let's catch up. Reintroduce yourself and tell us what you do in Avoid.
Well, yeah, I'm Benny. I sing.
I'm Nick. I play guitar.
I'm Paul, and I play drums.
Right on. So a bit of a change up in the lineup since I last talked with you guys.
We're just the four of us now. It's us three, and then our guitar player Chris, who lives down in San Diego.
Okay, awesome, man. So Chris, was he originally a Seattleite, or did you meet him?
We actually met Chris like through touring. So awesome. He was a guitar tech. We used to be, our local band was called Avoid the Void,
yep.
And then we changed our name to Avoid in about 2017.
Okay.
And so then we did our first tour that summer, and Chris was actually a guitar tech for the opening band of that tour. Cool. And we were just like...
Yeah, I think he was like 16 at the time. So,
yeah.
You know, we met him, we vibed, we got along, and we were like, wow, okay, this kid's younger than us touring. I think we were 17, 18 at the time. And we were like, he's very good at what he does. Let's just like... be friends with him and keep an eye on him and like watch his career grow. Mm-hmm. And we kind of ended up in a situation where we needed a bass player, and we were just like all unanimously like, I know he's from California, but I think we can make this work. Like, he's super driven and super young, so we snagged him right away.
That's awesome.
Yeah, we moved him up here for a year too.
It's been 3 years.
Yep.
3 years.
Yeah, wow. He joined in 2019, and so yeah, he, when we really got Chris is when I'd say that like Avoid really figured out like what we were doing or trying to do. Like, that was when we really like, it was like, okay, we have all of the pieces now of what we need to do. And then, like I said, just a quick little lineup change, and not even like a lineup change, but now we're at where we're at, where I think we've set ourselves up for 2023 is like, all right, we have all the tools that we need, all the resources we need, and we're ready to just hit it harder than ever.
So Let's go back to the name change. Avoid the Void was the original name.
Oh, yeah.
Cut it down to Avoid. What was the, was there a meeting where you guys like, guys, we need to trim the fat.
Of course.
Just needs to be Avoid.
Well, we were, I mean, we started the band, Benny and I started the band at like 14, 15.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So that was like, you know, we're coming out of middle school, going into high school. Yep. We're like, let's start a band. And that was the band name.
Yeah.
You know, and we did that for, I think it was close to 5 years. Yeah. And we were like, you know what?
2012 to 2017 yeah, was the Avoid era. Yeah. Or Avoid the Void era.
And I think we were just like, you know, like we're trying to take this seriously. We really enjoy doing this. Mm-hmm. Let's like start fresh to the industry and like kind of bury some of the really cringy high school stuff that we did, you know, and,
it was like,
and
yeah,
give them
never,
a fresh couple.
We like never broke up, you know, it was like we never wanted to like not still be that band. But we because I had started tour managing for an old band from here called Versus.
Yep.
And so I did a couple national tours with them also as a tour manager. And that was the first time I'd had my eyes really open to like the national touring world.
Yeah.
Outside of just DIY stuff. And then so I also was it was kind of like a okay, I'm starting to get a couple connections to like real industry stuff. I don't want to give them like a hey, look out my band, and then all you Google my band, and it's just a bunch of stuff from when we were 14.
Kind of a soft relaunch.
Exactly. Okay. Same band.
Benny's self-consciousness.
Facts.
Yeah, we were just...
Facts.
Yeah. Yeah. I was too ashamed.
I was too ashamed. Avoid the Void was such a bad band name, too. I hated telling people. And I don't think Avoid is that much better, but at least it's like one word, like...
Sure.
It's more catchy.
It's open-ended.
Avoid the Void sounds like a local band to me. And nothing bad, but it was just like we wanted to... We wanted to trick the industry into being a new entity.
Mm-hmm.
But we'd already toured a few years under Avoid the Void. Like, we knew... I mean, we were 18. We didn't know.
Yeah.
But we knew.
We knew what we wanted.
Can I cuss on here?
It's all good.
Okay.
It's not live.
Okay, perfect. But we didn't really know anything. And then we just tried to, we wanted to basically just trick the industry. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And like be fresh, but at least we knew how to tour. We knew how to do a couple things. We had connections to record labels and
that's
stuff.
Dope.
So yeah, it just kind of, it felt like it was the right thing. And honestly, I'll really break it down to, we got a t-shirt design.
Nice.
When we were Avoid the Void. And it said, and it was a void, and then there was a line through it that said the void.
And you're
it
like,
was really small.
You're like, I just prefer that.
Yeah. Just covered
I really just covered the void.
You're like,
in
that part's cool.
Yeah.
Let's cut out that part.
And it was, like,
it was
all
easy.
All capital Avoid with the line through it. I was like, I like that. That's fresh. That's nice.
So for fans that are like completists of your band, the big fans of you guys have fans all over the world. Do you think that, you know, in the future, and this is me just spitballing this, totally putting it out there. I didn't even like screen this question with you guys. Do you think there'll ever be a time where you like, you know, kind of recapture those songs, the old Avoid the Void songs, any B-side, like maybe like, you know, old material re-release? You think that would ever happen?
I think I think I can speak on that.
Paul was not in the band for Avoid the Void.
So I'm someone who wasn't in the band, and I was actually someone who enjoyed that music when it came out. And I will say, like, I understand, right? You understand, like, the first stuff that you release as a band, right? You're not going to be proud of it or, like, be like, this is the best stuff in the world, right? But I do think there is some justice to, like, maybe playing one of the songs that has a cool riff.
Maybe a 10-year. Maybe a 10-year show.
Sure.
Avoid the Void.
One show or just some sort of callback to that. I think it would be really cool for me. As a fan of that old stuff.
Yeah.
As someone who is a part of it, it's a hard no.
Yes.
For me.
So I can understand both perspectives, right? As someone who's in the band, I'd be like, you know, maybe we can leave that in the past, right?
As a fan,
I'm like, let's do that. Come on.
Truly, if we did something like that, it would really be for the Seattle scene. It would really be for like,
for the
you know, we made so many friends around here in all the bands kind of in that local metalcore punk scene, and like
do it up at Tony V's or something.
You know, you know, there's a lot of people in this community that we love. So if we did it, it would really just be for this community.
I feel like we would, we could either do like a really small like bar show as Avoid the Void, or like I think there would be a way to incorporate it into like a big, like if we do like, because it'll probably 2027 is technically the 10 year for Avoid, so maybe when we do like the 10 year for Avoid, we break it back in, it's like here's the 15 year of Avoid the Void, because I don't know. I think there's a cool way we can. I mean, even breaking it down to where it's like, if you go back to our first record, Alone, there is a song called Shapes on there, which is actually a revamped version of a song from the Avoid the Void EP.
That's cool.
And it's not the same song. It's not like just the same song.
We reimagined.
But we kept the same name and had like a, hey guys, it's your old song, but like this is what
but
we're doing.
Better.
Now. Exactly.
Yes. Way better.
Nice, dude. Okay, so we're talking about 2022. You guys, I mean, you guys played so many. You're wearing a hoodie of a band that you went on tour with, Silent Planet.
Yep.
You guys toured with a ton. You're wearing a Garth Brooks t-shirt.
I was wearing a Silent Planet.
You took the hoodie off.
Eventually, ended up in the Garth Brooks.
So, all in all, how many tours did you guys go on? Because it seemed like it was never ending.
We did Fit for a King, Avoid and Friends, Bad Omens with, like, also shows mixed in with Silent Planet and Dayseeker.
Yeah.
And The Plot and You. So there was four big tours with little things in between as well. Like, we did a couple one-offs and a couple, like...
Yeah, some festival stuff. And I would say it was a good, like, you know, third of the year or so on the road.
It was a good third of the year. It was good. I'd say we probably played close to 100 shows this year. Yeah. Easily. Yeah.
There's this competition, it seems like, between you guys, Dying Wish, and Dragged Under to see who can be on the road the most.
We're just trying to be out there a lot.
Dying Wish is crushing of us. They are on the road nonstop.
On the coolest tours, just being cool as fuck.
I have nothing but love and respect for Dying Wish. It's so cool what they've been able to do and, like, capitalize on it. And, like, for, like, well before Dying Wish popped
being
off.
Being show promoters and stuff, yeah. Yep.
I was a promoter in Seattle. Emma was a promoter in Portland. So we were always doing stuff together through that. And, like, Emma's booked Avoid in Portland so many times.
Yeah.
And vice versa. I've booked Dying Wish in Seattle and their old band. Like,
and now you guys are both living your dreams.
Yeah, exactly. It's amazing. So I'm so happy for them. And, I mean, Dragged Under's out there crushing it. Yep. Like, it's great that there's so much talent from the Northwest that's, like, because the home team, like, let's not forget about the home team.
We kind of have a great little culture growing around here.
On their headliner and tour, I believe. Like, it's cool to see, like, that there's actually not just bands that are crushing it locally, but also it's like bands from our scene that are now out, like, doing real
next step. Like, I mean, it's just like, it's what being a band is all about.
Yeah.
You take that next step, and it's really cool to, like, have friends, too. It's like, we grew up with these people.
Yeah.
And now we're all getting to do this stuff, and, like, we've even toured together when we were kids, you know? Like,
you never know if it's going to work out, right? Mm-hmm. And it's, like, it's always fun to be, like, 16 to 18, we're going to be in a band, and we're going to tour. we're gonna be in every different city every night. And it's like a dream.
And now you are.
But it's like, and not only are we, but the people that we talked about it with when we were both that same slow level. Like, we came up together.
Yep.
And I think all of our bands, us, Home Team, Dragged Under, and Dying Wish, have all taken... I wouldn't say drastically different, but we're all in our own little world.
Yep.
Like, we're competing, quote unquote, but we're also not.
Everyone picked a lane.
Yeah, I am not. Like, I have no insecurities or, like, that weird, like, oh, we got to make sure we're doing. Like, I'm just so stoked that so many bands from my scene that I grew up with are doing well.
Yeah.
And it's amazing for Seattle. Like, all I hope is that it's, like, some of the bands that inspired me to even be in a band that may have not even gotten as far as some of these Seattle bands. It's, like, that's what made me want to do it.
What are some of those bands?
Oh, I mean, take Monster Scare You was the
some of our early local show
guys.
Attendance.
What a bad band, but I loved it.
It was fantastic.
It,
yeah, for the, like we, I think because we came into the scene in the around 2012, so it was a lot of, like, it was like the leftover of the, like, really scene mallcore emo.
Reach for the Sky.
You know, there was Burning Twilight, like a bunch of just weird. In
Studio 7 Metalcore.
That is a perfect way to put it.
That was our bread and butter, bro. That was our first show ever there. That was our local band grind. We were
selling tickets.
Doing whatever we could.
Two to three shows a month. Two of them were at Studio 7. Yep. Promoter hated the fact that we were on two shows a month. Mm-hmm. You know, just
but
trying
we sold
to play
the tickets.
Yep.
But yeah, no, it was crazy, man.
Playing,
like,
with I Declare War or something.
Of course,
you know?
Of course.
Like that.
A lot of I Declare War shows.
Yep.
We ended up doing, like, we would open for I Declare War, and then we ended up doing like a weekend run with them where we did Seattle and Walla Walla, and then there was a full picture where I Declare War actually agreed to support us on one of our
headlines. You headlined over I Declare War,
and that was like
you're like
of,
what?
That was one of the made most, no sense like, to me. Full circle Seattle moments for yes. us is like
I was like these was, guys practice at Studio 7.
Yeah,
like, these,
yeah. Maybe we did the show at El Corazon, which yep. was the, I mean was obviously
we do like Elko.
Yeah, but like hell it's yeah. cool, and it was it, that was like that was the first time I really felt like, okay, because it wasn't even like an ego thing. It was just yeah. like a, okay, this is amazing that this is a band I looked up to. I mean, yep. a band that has global clout, and it's cool that they recognize where we're coming up right now. And they were down to like help us like build that perception. Yeah. And that's really amazing of them. And I still talk to Jamie every once in a while.
Hell yeah.
All those dudes are great.
So, you know, looking back to that time, you're little kids, you're coming into this scene with older people and you know, people that have toured all around the world. What got you in? Did you have like an OG who like was like, yo, come to this show? Did you have like an older friend, or did you like find out about it through Facebook? How did you guys get into, you know, underground
music? How did you get into it, Paul? Because that's even one that I sometimes fully forget about. Like,
well, for
because you were like a prog kid.
Yeah. Well, I think actually, to that question specifically, like Seattle scene, like shows, right? So I was like a jazz band kid,
yeah,
band kid, loved prog metal and mm-hmm. metal and metalcore and all that.
Yeah.
So. But I was in a little prog band in high school, and my best friend, Ethan Schmidt, his uncle, Dan Schmidt, good friends with Thomas Arak from the Fall of Troy.
Shout out to Thomas.
Yeah, so when I was like...
He's putting out a solo record this year.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Thomas is the man. Yeah. So when I was like 15, I was super young, he had Thomas come to Electro Kitties with yeah. me and my band, and we did like a 3-song demo... And we were there for like a weekend, and Thomas was just there the whole time, kind of producing us.
That's awesome.
Just helping us, you know, just kind of
figure it out.
Get that first studio experience. And yeah. then he.
That's really cool.
Yeah. Then he went to a show. It was, this is crazy. What? Idol's final yeah. show at Elko.
Was that the one that we played with them?
Idol.
When they came back?
R.I.P. No. Drew.
Yeah. Yes. R.I.P. Yeah. Drew, yes. For real. Yes. Absolute legend.
Yep. So it was Idol's last show at Elko. Thomas was there.
Okay.
And my band, Beyond the Woods, we were called.
Okay.
Hilarious. But we were playing at the Funhouse.
Nice.
And Thomas was like, come. He came and watched us and was like, come to the show next door. Like, I can get you guys in. It'll be fun.
Yeah.
And it was like my first time seeing like Seattle scene really do its thing.
Mm-hmm.
Austin Dickey throwing the hell down, like bodying people. Like yep. it was my first time seeing that, and I was like, okay,
there's something going on here.
I need to, this yeah. needs to be more. So yeah, that was like my first time. So Thomas Arak, I can give it to him. He's
your OG.
He showed me the way.
He's your OG. That's yeah. awesome. Benny, how about you, man?
For me, I was actually...
Our story is pretty much the same because we've been here kind of the whole time.
Well, but how I got into the scene initially, yeah. I was basically a Warped Tour fanatic.
Okay.
Bro. I loved all that shit.
What was your first Warped Tour? Was it Gorge?
2012.
Was it Gorge or was it out
I
at the...
I never got to do Gorge.
We missed
White
the Gorge
River.
Era.
White River, yeah.
So 2012 was my first Warped Tour, and I mean, I was just... I mean, Pierce the Veil is still one of my favorite bands.
Yep.
That's a band that I think can do no
I
wrong.
I remember seeing Motionless and White on a side stage.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
That year. I loved all the Motionless, Bring Me the Horizon.
So how'd you get into the scene?
Yeah, but so I went, and I loved, especially, I mean, the time I really liked Falling in Reverse.
I saw Vanna, too. I yeah. saw Oh, yeah. Vanna on it. Yes.
Yep. I remember. I saw at the Monster Stage.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
So I saw Monsters Scare You opening for Falling in Reverse.
Okay.
At El Corazon in like 2000. I think it was also
probably 2012. Yeah.
yeah. And I remember being like, and I didn't know anything about like local bands and sure. how like getting on locals. So I just thought Monsters Scare You was on the tour and was
yeah.
a touring band. And I just liked them at the time because you just like anything.
There's
on
no
stage.
Differentiation. It's yeah. They're playing.
And you're 14 years old. You're like,
yeah.
this is insane.
Ever. Yeah. And then I remember I looked them up afterwards and saw that they were from Seattle.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's the coolest thing ever. And then they were doing a secret show at El Corazon.
Nice.
And it was them, Reach for the Sky, We the Audience, and a couple others.
A bunch
and
of classic
like a secret
Seattle
headliner.
Locals.
And the secret headliner was Issues, and it was announced like
oh, wow.
day of.
Okay.
And so Monster Scare You taught me, I found out about them, and then doing them brought me into that like show with all local bands. And then it was like, everything was off the rails from there.
Yeah.
Like, I found out about all those bands, and then it was
And then you start, how'd you get into promoting?
So I was just like, when the band started, we all needed roles, right?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Nick was so good with like the technical shit.
Mm-hmm.
And so we would literally like, we would spend our days after school, we'd go back to Nick's mom's house, and he had like a little studio bedroom.
Cool.
And Nick would work on like audio stuff, and like mm-hmm. and then I would be on my phone and on my computer like emailing venues
yep.
and booking us and learning how to do like that side, the networking business side of a band.
Cool.
Nick was going in on learning the audio side of a band. And so then that's kind of how Nick and I became like a team, is basically it was like, all right, you do that, I'll do that. And if we work together and keep, if you do that and I do that and we always are working on something, then we have both of those things covered and we can continue to grow.
Yeah. And how about you, man? Nick, what brought you into, you know, the music scene? Did you guys go to school together?
Yeah. So I mean, I would say like I my first introduction to the Seattle scene was meeting Benny and then Benny going, dude, I just saw this Issues show
yeah.
with all these bands. I mean, it was literally like a couple months after that, you
yeah.
know, that after that show that we had met and become friends and started writing music. And I think for us it was like, well, we're a band, so we should play shows.
Were you guys up north, like Everett area?
So Paul's from Everett, but Benny and I grew up in Kirkland.
Okay, cool.
So we're across.
Shout out K-Tub.
Yep, K-Tub.
And Redmond Firehouse.
Old Redmond yeah. Firehouse. Yeah. You
we
know,
played
some
Into the Flood. Comeback show
with
awesome. The Redmond Firehouse
with the home team.
It,
I think that was 2013.
No, that was Truth Under Attack when we played with the
oh,
home
no,
team.
Oh, no, you're right.
The Into the Flood show was Into the Flood, Motion,
Numbers,
Torn, and Us. No, Numbers
was
also
was that
Truth
also
Under
the
Attack
home team?
Show.
Damn.
We played
a lot of shows at the Firehouse,
awesome.
But so I like, I guess through our necessity of like, okay, well, we're a band, we should play shows. Mm-hmm. You know, we had like a, like we met at a rock band camp, and the person who ran
That's
the camp
awesome.
Is someone who has been like somewhat involved around music in Seattle for a long time.
Yeah.
So he kind of hooked us up.
He was
with
in like Point One back in the day.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So
Crying Spell, Chase Culp.
What?
Chase Culp.
Yep. Oh, yeah. He's
yeah.
a drummer.
Yep.
Yes.
Drummer,
yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah. drum school.
Yep.
Yep.
So that was
yep.
those drum
that, that is where we met.
That was where so we did yep. the drum camp the 1 week, and then the next week, him and the guitar player of that band, Eric, run a rock band camp.
Cool.
And so Nick and I did drum camp, met each other. Nick did not with me. Totally get it.
I'm sorry.
You can imagine me now. Imagine me at 14, bro.
Yeah, he was, you know, just.
Not good.
He's a tall can of Red Bull.
Yeah.
You know, so. I mean, yeah, so we started, you know, Chase got us connected with people at Studio 7 and was like, all right, go start playing local shows, sell 50 tickets and,
yep.
and you know, like so, grind
I mean,
and figure it out.
The best advice Chase yeah. ever gave us is basically like, if you sell 50 tickets consistently, you'll never be turned down for a
yep.
show.
Totally.
With a local band like
yeah.
that. And
you know,
so that
and,
was our benchmark. And thankfully, we were in high school and we were able to. Because it was like the funniest thing about our high school, too, is it wasn't like everyone's always like, you were in your band in high school? You guys must have been the coolest kids. Like, everyone loved. I was like, nah.
Nobody cared.
No one cared.
We were post any kind of hype era
yeah.
of like being a musician.
Like,
in
metalcore
school,
was
you know?
Not sick at my
yeah.
high school.
Yeah.
No, we were definitely kind of the
it
weirder
was
kids.
Not cool.
Yeah, but we, you know, we found our lane and we did school a lot and we kind of like focused on just like having fun and
yeah.
and wanting to write music and that energy has kind of lingered with us this
That's
whole time.
Amazing.
So we've really, I mean, we played our first show. I think it was like 2012. We played
summer
a show
of 2012 was when we played like our first
right.
rock band camp
okay.
recital.
But December of 2012, we played like our first real shows. Like we were opening
December 6th,
maybe we were opening for like it was a local band. I think they were called Atlas or something like that.
Okay.
And it was so bad that
Space Waster, baby.
Yeah, and Space Waster. Shout out Ian. And it was so bad that the promoter of the show pulled us aside and was like, because we were booked on another show mm-hmm. in February or
whatever.
It was
like a national show, which also weird for our time, but we were like, especially at that time, terrible 14 years old and like we don't really know what we're doing. So we're not nearly as like a heavy band. We're like a pop punk band playing
sure.
four
yeah.
chord songs.
It
we're
was
opening for Tarsus and Firewind.
What?
Yeah, it was. That was really weird.
Like
that was a bad.
I'm sure Metal Shop gave away tickets to that show.
Oh, they did.
Absolutely,
for
sure.
Yeah.
So I'm sure we were like all on air, like
yep.
probably talking about
yep.
you guys, like mentioning like, hey, on the concert calendar, you know. And that's so funny because like Tarsus is like a folk metal band.
Yeah.
And then we're like, our shitty little pop punk. Opening for Tarissa's End.
Oh, if that's a way to win.
Yeah. And well, so our December show was so bad that the promoter was like, "Hey, dude, like, you guys either need to quit or figure it out. Like you need to, you know, like, I don't want to put you on this next show because that was by far one of the worst shows I've ever seen in my life." And that, like the next day, I think Benny and I sat down and we were like, that hit us really hard. Obviously, kids. We're like, man, you know, you don't want to be awful.
He didn't tell you. Off, but no, he was. It was. It was guys.
Probably like the best check we could have ever gotten as kids. Because then we were just like, you know what, we are either going to do this or we're not. Yeah. And at that point, we were just like, all right, let's do this.
Well, that's our first real show, right? Yeah. Everything out, and it was as bad as it could have gone. And so not only is the promoter in the back room with us, but I'm maybe just turned 15 because my dad drove us to the show, and I didn't have a license, so he was our right. We put everything in the back of his red Dodge truck.
What'd your dad say?
Well, that's not only was the promoter in the back room ripping us apart, but my dad and Chase were in there just watching the promoter rip us apart, and they didn't say a damn word.
Because they agreed.
They were like, this is a good, valuable lesson.
Yeah, dude. They were like, and then my dad was like, he saw me, we were bent down, he was like, you know, he had a point though, man. Like, we brought like our friend up from high school that didn't know how to do anything to do a song. I mean, it was
super bad.
Like, what? And but even my dad gave us like, what are you doing that for, man? Like, what
is this? Like, no, but it's great. Like that was probably the most one of the most formative experiences for us. Yeah. And I think
over that night, and I remember we had a talk we had a talk at high school the next day because the show was on a Thursday night.
Yep.
So we had to go to high school on Friday, and I remember we were like at lunch and we were just like, bruh, we had just been beat up. We spent the last 24 hours being beat up, and I remember, I forget who initiated, but it was basically like, nah, man, we can do this.
Yeah.
Like, we're young.
Nut up.
Like, let's just, oh, my bad. We're like, yeah, but we can do this. Like, let's just literally spend every day doing this. And that's what we did. We had, like, we put ourselves on, like, the strictest practice regimen you could have done.
Wow.
It was Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday for all 4 years of high school. That was band practice days. And
that's
a couple missed here and there, but we actually
We did not do well in high school.
four days a week, we were practicing.
Yeah.
And then if we weren't practicing, and so our first period in high school was band class.
Nice.
And the band class room was at the other sector of the high school.
Yeah.
And there was a door from band class that led to the parking lot.
Yeah.
And it was first period. And Nick and I both had band first period. And I tell you how many days we did not make it after first period because that door went to the parking lot.
Wow. Yeah, we just ditched. Yep.
Ride to the car.
Ride to the car, baby. And we had jazz band, too, in the mornings. So we'd show up early to school, get those front row parking spots.
Mm-hmm. Just
so
get
it was
out of
really
there.
Just a beeline, and you're out. Yep. Less than a minute, you're off school property. What are they going to do?
So just take this energy now. Tall can of Red Bull. Tall can of Red Bull.
Damn.
Yes, sir.
So, okay, so like you mentioned how you all kind of took the responsibility of all getting this role. So you were the technical side of things and you were the promoter and you were probably, you know, writing a lot of the music, I would assume.
Yep.
That was a lot of like when I first joined the band was kind of figuring that out. But quickly Nick and I meshed very quickly on just writing absurd amounts of stuff.
Paul was supposed to be a fill-in, but he was such a good match that we couldn't let him
Paul's
go.
Paul's first tour is actually an amazing story.
Yeah, it was like, well,
because so we had just gotten rid of, we were doing like one of our last lineup switches, but we were just like, this isn't working.
Sure.
We have some things we want to do. And so we had gotten rid of our old drummer and our old guitar player and had just brought in an old member coming back and Paul. That was they were both coming in at the exact same time. And our first tour that we were bringing Paul up to do. Well, we had a whole headlining tour that was supposed to get us from the West Coast to the East Coast because we were doing a few days of Warped Tour with our label. Not playing, just like helping them. Like they had like a tent there.
Yeah, we were just driving them around.
Sure.
And sneaking in every day, essentially.
Yeah, yeah.
And good old lovely Artery Global. Our tour fell apart literally like a couple weeks.
A week or something.
So we had no
show. So all we had was just like, all right, we're going to drive out to the East Coast and just go on Warped Tour
and try to
talk our way into playing.
Kevin Lyman said we're allowed.
Yeah.
Well, it didn't make any sense.
Yeah.
My parents were not too stoked about it.
Oh, yeah. I don't blame them.
Well, so we ended up,
drove across the country from Seattle to Pennsylvania to play one show in Allentown, Pennsylvania.
Woo!
With this legendary promoter named Tom Taylor.
Shout out Tom Taylor.
Shout out Tom Taylor, bro.
That was my first out of state show ever.
So yeah,
was that's driving so all funny. The way and to.
He made us do a wrestling promo with him, dude.
That's amazing.
Crazy.
He's a wrestler. Yeah. Incredible.
Wow.
Well, and it was.
And so then we go do that, and then we drive down to North Carolina because basically our label at the time had 5 days on Warped Tour.
Okay.
Or no, eight.
It was eight.
It was eight days on Warped Tour, and they basically asked us because they didn't have a van or anything. Mm-hmm. They were like, "If you can get over to the East Coast, like, can you guys be our transportation for Warped Tour?" And there was a lot so we're just driving information.
Out. We thought we would be getting paid a lot more than we.
I'm assuming.
But we're also 18, especially me like, being.
Let's do it. It's the final Warped Tour.
A wish and a dream.
I think it was the last full U.S. Warped Tour.
And I was just like, or no, it was 27. No, this
you're
was,
just full send at that point. Yes. Just like, let's 2018, go.
2018.
Well, and that was probably hands down, like, I mean, and I'm impressed that this is Paul's first tour because since then, that has still been probably the hardest thing we've ever done.
Oh, it sucked.
It was grueling. It was miserable. Well, there was like eight people packed into a tiny little, you
van.
Know, like,
conversion eight people van. In a,
not a big van.
It wasn't even like
a
15
van.
Passenger van. It was like a conversion van.
Wow.
And like I said, there was a lot of ambiguous information that made it so that we really, like, we thought we were covered, but we didn't have that 100% confirmed. Mm-hmm. And so the deal was not, like, we just got a bunch of merch to sell in line, which if everyone remembers going to Warped Tour, wasn't your favorite thing, talking to the band, just pestering you in line. Yeah. To
getting punished by the band
so,
in
yeah.
line.
Wasn't that not the best thing
oh,
ever?
Wait, so we're like... away from all of our family, we have no promise of playing, and we get to be the band probably playing yeah. as the people walk in and yep. punishing
well,
them.
We weren't even playing. We didn't
tight.
Have set times. And
yeah,
so
we
it was
can,
even worse.
We're just trying to sell $1 samplers that we can only also sell through our phones at Warped Tour, which
yes.
on debit.
Tour.
You have to enter a debit card manually.
That was the only way we could make it count. Like
you guys were literally
sale.
Those
was
rap
awful.
Artists who were like, hey,
yes.
do you like rap music?
Yes.
Yo, listen
let
to this
let
real
me
quick.
Sign your CD real quick.
Yeah. Come on,
please.
Yo, take my demo. Take my demo.
Yeah.
So that's going to be a donation.
Yeah, it's
so
$5, please.
Yeah,
exactly. It was pretty brutal, but it was a fantastic way to get to know Paul.
I also just fell in love with the road.
Yeah.
And these guys. Like,
yeah.
just playing music with these guys. And I was like, okay, these are the guys that I'm going to do it with. Like,
yeah.
these guys want to work hard
yeah.
every day for this music in the band. And so, like, it just clicked instantly. So, I mean, yeah, it's a lot of, like, those formative moments,
mm-hmm.
like, really...
It was probably the worst spot we could have been into,
yeah.
and we really did make the best of it.
We had a great time.
We had a
yeah.
great one. Well, so
it
like
was
said,
awful
like,
and amazing all
at
the same time.
We didn't have passes to Warped Tour either,
yeah.
so there was
yeah.
eight of us, and we only had three passes a day to Warped Tour.
Nice.
And so we were sneaking in, and so then by like day two or three, we had made friends with the guy that runs like the tent stage.
Sure.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
The like local bands and like the in catering bands
the
and stuff
smaller
like that.
Than the Full Sail stage state.
And we were basically like, yo, we're a band here, we're with our label, we're following the tour, we're doing this. Any chance we can play? And he was just like, yeah. And we were like, oh, sick. And then we didn't have passes. I remember I brought that up to him and he got pissed. Yeah, he was like, how are you in here right now?
He was like, what are you doing?
And I was like, we didn't say that. And I told him we would just figure it out. And then, yeah, we ended up sneaking in for the next, like, I mean, we snuck in every day, but then we would, like, sneak in and out, roll our gear in, play a set, and leave.
Not condoning it, but the way to sneak into Warped Tour is just carry some merch boxes or a guitar cab. And
no one's going to say anything.
Well, I mean, I think we can share this info since Warped Tour is not a thing anymore.
Warped Tour is over.
There's many festivals, but, like, you know, it's like...
Yeah, a lot
of security hired on security. They're gonna be like, "Oh, you look like you belong here."
I had a friend who used to do that. If he didn't have money for like, so it was like there would be like an all ages hardcore show in Olympia. He would go home and get a cymbal, and he would just carry
just walk
it
in with a cymbal
or like a pizza box.
Yep,
amazing. Yep. That's a great. So that's
the you just gotta look the part. You gotta be confident.
Act like you're supposed to be
act
there.
Like you know. So yep. I brought all that stuff up with you guys. You know, assuming your roles in the band and kind of grabbing a hold of you know what you know you're good. Good at and stuff, and because I am curious, from your guys' opinion, how important was having that infrastructure already in place when you took the next step up around like 2020 and stuff, and really things started to get in motion with you guys? How important was having that infrastructure already in place?
I mean, I definitely think like I mean, as teenagers, Benny and I were two moving cogs that moved, you know, really smoothly and well together. So, you know, by the time we started adding new people, you know, we were able to really accelerate that growth because those people kind of hopped in and started rotating as their own little separate cog in this set of gears.
You had already managed yourselves to the point where you couldn't manage yourselves probably anymore, right?
Like, yeah, absolutely.
You weren't a band that just immediately started and then got a manager. You guys had been doing it yourselves for so long and having that infrastructure.
Still to this day, we do, like, we have managers and agents and stuff now, and we are still hands-on than most bands that start nationally touring and stuff like that are. Like,
I mean,
we are incredibly hands-on with all of that stuff.
We had a very long wind-up before we started doing, you know, national support tours and, like, touring, you know, like, a third of the year or whatever like that. So I feel like we really got on our feet with a long series of baby steps, you know, and, like, each little landmark we made was directly responsible for the next one. Yeah. So it's we wouldn't be here.
We're still making those steps. Before we got here, we were having a big conversation just about how, like, you know, like, wow, we're here now and look at us, like, it's been this long and we're still learning and we're still making those steps and still learning about our roles in this band, you know, because, like, it's ever changing.
That's awesome as
our lives change and
as we grow as people
and as the band grows and all that stuff, like, it's always changing, but it's like having you guys, and we're always down to talk about it and always down to have that discussion. Like,
well, this is an idea that started in 2012, right? It's the end of 2022.
Yeah.
This is 10 years of mistakes.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
It's a lot of learning. It's 10 years of mistakes, and we're so grateful to be where we're at now, but that's really, you never stop learning. And I think it's what's been amazing that I feel like once we've been able to kind of like finally get our foot in the door, we have really been able to do a good job of finding our little area of, and it's small, of course, right now still. We still have so much to do, but we have a little area that we're starting to carve out of people that, like, understand what we're doing and
support us, like crazy.
Yeah.
It's been awesome.
It's been
a really, really fun year for us.
But it's cool because like bands like Fit for a King and stuff like that they're touring with now this year, they tour with us. They heard of Avoid maybe in 2020, maybe in 2021. They're not thinking that they're bringing out a band that's been a band since 2012.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so then we're kind of able to go in. Everyone thinks, and we are in every way, shape, and form still a baby band, but we have kind of this, like, 10 years of DIY under our belt that really is helping us navigate this national world. And we've seen it ourselves. It's like it's a lot of bands hit a little bit quicker than we do. And a lot of bands fizzle out just after that because it's like,
maybe it was too soon.
Exactly. Right. There's something about eating for a long time, yep. and really cutting your teeth and sleeping. I mean, we still sleep in our van every night, but you know what I mean? Like, yeah. sleeping in your van every night and you don't get to buy the, like, I can afford 2 gas station hot dogs now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And 2 pizza Lunchables.
And 2 pizza Lunchables. Like,
some gummies from Bucky's.
Yes. Like, but like, you talk about those Bucky's. like 16 to 20 days of touring when it's like, it's not only, but it's like you are as poor as you can possibly be.
Your bank's overdrafted.
You're there because you love it. And that's it. It is the worst decision, social decision. And it's like, within that time of being in a band, like eating for like that, it's like, that's what really makes you ready. It's like, and like I said, we have so much to grow, and it's like, I'm going to be looking back hopefully on this in 5 years and being like, man, back in before 2023, we were still eating so, and it's like, look at us now. But it's like, it is cool to kind of take a step back and see what it's been. But I don't think we would be where we're at now and be set up to continue to have, hopefully have a good couple years without all of the mistakes we've made over the last 10 years. And I love our mistakes because that's what makes us who we are. And if we didn't fail like that, then we wouldn't have known to not do that anymore, you know?
So the album is called Cult Mentality, and it has so much energy. It has, you know, pop punk, melodic rock, metalcore, swagger of hip hop. It has just so, like, it's really just a blend of, like, so much different. But it's got the catchy hooks that are just like, God damn it, this earworm. I can't get it out. Like, and it's not a bad thing, but it's just like, you got to keep listening to it because it's so catchy.
And I appreciate it. I saw you put us in your album lined up for the times, and that really meant a lot to us.
Yeah, thank
absolutely.
You.
So was this your first record with Thriller Records?
Yes.
So your first record with Thriller Records. How much time went into the record, guys?
I mean, Cult Mentality, this is kind of like our COVID baby, right?
Yeah.
So we wrote probably like 40 songs for this record over COVID, scrapped 100% of them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it took us, I think, 2 tries in the studio to really get it right. But it was a long process. Like, it was tough for us to write so much music for the record and then be like, you know what? This is not necessarily the direction we want to go in.
Start over.
You know, so.
Well, like, COVID hit and we were really going through an identity crisis.
For sure.
It's like, what kind of band do we want to be? Do we want to be heavy? Do we want to be,
like, the next Foo Fighters?
Like, what do we want to be?
You know? At one point, we were toying with the idea of being, like, a jam band. You know, it was.
I think you guys can be it all, and you are.
Well, thank you. And I do agree, and I want to be able to do everything. But, I mean, this was not it.
It wasn't right for us.
Like,
you know?
We needed to restart, and we had this conversation, and that was probably, when did we have? I mean, it was probably like November of.
I want to hear these songs that were scrapped now.
Oh, we'll send you some stuff.
It's like after
you'll be like,
stuff.
What in the Sugar Ray is this? You know, like
it's some weird stuff.
You know, but
man.
I want to give a lot of credit to Bob from Thriller for really kind of like setting it straight for us, because we sent him a bunch of the stuff and we kind of talked about vision stuff with him for the band, and he really was like, look, you guys did really good with your COVID record, your EP, mm-hmm. you know, and like, you are so new, and none of what I'm hearing is like really right for you guys. And he really kind of pushed us in the right direction to like work with the right people to like do the record that you know, the way that we ended up doing.
And we
slaved over this record. We truly did.
And it really wasn't like a situation of like, ass record owner is like, hey guys, this isn't it.
We need singles.
No. Because Bob is time and time again really proven to us that he believes in our band and wants to help and support.
Well, this is
going to
be a big step. He wants the step to mean something,
and
right?
Of course,
and
deep down, we also representative all knew that the songs weren't it. Yeah.
Sure.
We knew that they were.
In our heart of hearts, we were like, we could do much, much better and much cooler than we have been trying to do. We were just, we were so sad over COVID. You know, we were on tour when COVID hit. We, you know, like,
But we really didn't take getting checked like that, like, personally. It was like a...
You're like, oh,
you know what,
maybe you're right. Maybe you're
like,
right.
We need to reapproach this. And then we reapproached that in December of 2021.
I'll never forget it. We were in our old band house. And it just had to have been maybe in October, September. It was after we'd failed on the record over the summer, but before we were about to go do one of the festival runs. And we were in the living room, and Chris goes, what if we just made a record called Cult Mentality about how, like, dedicated we are to this stuff?
Yeah.
because we've just been like, we've been slaving over this record that we have nothing to show. Mm-hmm. We've been working on this record for a year and a half now, and we've basically gotten
saying,
to the
this
point
all
where,
sucks.
Like, we have nothing. Yeah. It all sucks, and we're starting over. And then Chris is just like, hey, amazing idea that started the concept for Cult Mentality. It basically just because we also have always like made jokes about how like we do weird ass shit with each other and like how our relationship is with each other. It's like it's very like in a very not weird way, but it's very culty and like we're very dedicated to this. And so Cult Mentality, when we realized that that was what we were trying to make, we also didn't, we were kind of scared of it. We were like, oh, I don't know if we're ready to make Cult Mentality. We just made The Burner. The Burner is like super goofy and super, and I think this record is still really goofy and has those elements, but we wanted to really make like an exactly The Burner, but longer. And I think instead we kind of innovated and brought that energy with also bringing in a lot of experimentation, and that brought it's just the weirdest, coolest thing we could have made, I think.
Yeah.
We really tried to not care while caring so much simultaneously.
Sure.
You know, I think that was a big switch that hit for us when we entered, you know, when we went into record, because we
make it as natural as possible.
Yeah, I mean, Cult Mentality was crazy for us because we wrote a lot of it while we were recording it.
Wow.
You know, so it was like,
yeah, it was like a demo process and then a vet process.
Put in a lot of effort to make it sound effortless.
Yes,
right?
Yes. I mean, it was a lot of like, you know, we're chasing lightning in a bottle, like trying to make this happen and doing these songs in a couple days at a time and really like putting the pressure on us. Mm-hmm. And we're all really happy with how it came out.
That's awesome.
It was 16-hour days for 3.5 weeks straight, and then another week of drums for 8 hours a day.
Yep. Yeah, it was
damn
hard work.
It was gnarly and fantastic all at the same time.
But it was really cool, and like when we started coming up with like, it was the first song we wrote for Cult Mentality when we were down there with Hiram in the studio, and it was just like it really gave us that power to go on for a month and work these insane.
Yeah,
hours.
Yeah, I think so. The first song we wrote for the record that we were like, this is making it, was the opening track of the record.
Awesome.
And that definitely, like, you know, we were like, oh, let's just not be scared anymore and like have as much fun as
also
we
no rules.
Can.
You can do whatever.
Absolutely. You know,
I'm not gonna give exactly away of like what our initial plan was because I still actually want to do this someday. But we had one idea. Like the Cult Mentality idea was around and existing, but we had this other idea that was kind of in our heads when we even went down to do that record. And I remember we got two songs in, and I remember Nick and I went to each other like, oh, this is Cult Mentality, this isn't that other thing. This is,
and we just shifted gears immediately.
That. Cool. and when we accept, because like I said, we came up with the name and the idea of the album before we even wrote the album. And I think that I'm not gonna speak for everyone else, but it scared the out of me. I was terrified.
Like, how do we do this?
I was like, how do we're known as like this goofy, weird, we have meat skin. The Burner Band is gonna suddenly go to like, I even just like the name Cult Mentality felt very scary to me. It was like, oh, there's some edge to that. And I also really didn't want to be categorized in like that metalcore cult with a V really did like
black metal.
No, black metal does it cool. Metalcore appropriated it and ruined it.
Sure. Okay.
So we didn't want to fall into that category. And so it was like, Cult Mentality, are we really going to do this? But then it was like, so we had the idea. And then when we made some of the songs, it was like, oh, this is.
Yeah.
We grew into Cult Mentality, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. I love you guys breaking it down. The record's awesome. But so like Loud and Local's been giving you guys a lot of love,
so much love
for a
Thank
long
you
time
for that,
now.
Man. For
but
real.
There has been a shift in the last couple of years. So you guys got a lot of love through SiriusXM.
Yep.
And then with this new record, you got a lot of love on rock radio across the United States.
Yep.
You guys grew up here in the Northwest. KISW is kind of the legacy rock radio station in the Northwest. What was it like for you guys when you realized that you guys got added to not just the, you know, specialty show on Sunday nights that I host, but regular rotation? What was that like for you guys? I'm trying not to be all like, give me lip service here, but I realize that it's probably a cool thing.
We were on tour when it happened, and I actually remember because Taryn like DM'd the band, and she was like, yo, I just heard this song. I absolutely am in love with it. It's going into regular rotation tomorrow. Like, we are so behind you guys.
Yeah.
And
Benny and I freaked out because, I mean, we're longtime listeners. Both our parents have listened to the station, for a long time.
It's an institution.
know,
we
so
did a local show in like 2014, and Jolene was there.
Yes,
that was a huge deal to us.
Shout out to Jolene.
Was at the show we were playing. Shout out. Absolute Radio, go legend.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, long time BJ and Migs listeners, long time Men's Room listeners, long time Jolene and Taryn listeners. You know, we've loved the station forever. So it was
always going to Pain in the Grass.
Yep.
Like,
no, so it was definitely a cool moment for us. We're like, well, you know, because satellite radio was awesome, but we were like, whoa, terrestrial radio, you know, and like at home, like to our, you know, these are our people. This is our community. You know?
My PE teacher from high school now thinks I'm cool.
There we go. Yes, that's
and
it.
Not even, and I don't mean this in like a weird way whatsoever, but it's like it was like a really weird like gradual like grind to get into radio, and it's also because it's like. I'm not, like, there's a lot of, I don't even want to call it politics, but there's a lot of ways that, like, this radio world works, and it's, you're, not every band is going to get played on the radio. It's just the way it is.
Yeah.
And so I remember we started, like, we got XM, and that was amazing, and then they, like, we got eased in to, like, Madison, Wisconsin.
Okay.
Like, Des Moines, Iowa. Yep. And we started getting some of those rock stations, and then we performed well, and then that's when I noticed we got, I think we got...
And then,
Seattle.
You get coastal love.
Exactly.
A little bit,
and so then, and so it
the
went
big
from, like, Madison, and, like, and then we got KSW, and then it was, like, when we saw that, it was, like, A, it was our first major city rock radio station, and the station we grew up listening to, and then...
Extra cool.
We've gotten a couple cents, but nothing has been as special as getting on KSW.
Your hometown.
It's, it's, I mean, it's amazing, again, it's, like... My parents are so proud of it. Like,
that's so sick.
So,
dude.
It was a big family event
for the parents. That's like, you know,
we love moms, bro.
That's
we do love moms.
Young Gravy,
Young Gravy also loves moms.
Yeah. We were claiming that before Gravy.
All right, sounds good. So in the last couple of years, there's been like such a shift in how open-minded people are with this style of music. So, like, for instance, we see Knocked Loose going on tour with Suicide Boys.
Yep.
We see Code Orange going on tour with Suicide Boys. We see, you know, Turnstile doing hip-hop tours. We see...
doing that City Morgue tour.
Yeah. Right, could you see you guys ever going on a tour with, like, a hip-hop group, pop
group?
Oh, absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, so, we played Alpine Horizon, which is, like, a really awesome drift event festival out in Pikes Peak.
Awesome.
And most of the artists on that show were like hip hop, rap.
It was Trippie Redd, City Morgue, Xavier Wolf, and A Void.
Oh. Yes, it was. So it was like we were playing.
So,
we were playing to an exclusively hip hop crowd, and I would say that like those kids that go to those shows, they have the same exact energy.
They want
to
mosh.
They want to mosh. They want to get rowdy.
Anything,
they want to party.
It's actually better because they're not jaded. And they don't.
Yeah,
they're not thinking
it was
about
so welcoming and friendly.
Enough, you know, or not.
They're just there to have fun.
Yeah,
and they're just like that's what shows are all about.
Yeah,
and like that energy was so there. Like it was just a crowd of people that just
I think
they didn't even know us.
No, and they
think
those
two
do it like they're doing like rage moves, like stuff that you would do at rap shows. To like, and I'm like, everyone jump. It was just like such different, but also such similar, but amazing, fresh energy.
Yeah, I feel like all of those like high intensity genres have so much more in common than they have not in common. You know, especially the fan bases. They all want to rage. They all want to have a good time. So it's cool to see that happen in mainstream culture. You know, not just in the local scenes where there's like metal bands and rappers and stuff like that, but. I don't know. I would love to go on some rap tours.
That's the goal.
What was that? Who's that rapper? I forget his name, but he's like kind of has metal influence.
Denzel Curry?
No, Denzel.
Azilla Kami?
No, he's a white guy.
Oh, Shakewell?
No, he kind of looked dressed like Marilyn Manson for a while.
Ghostmane?
Ghostmane.
So Harm's Way, the band whose hoodie I'm wearing, they went on tour with Ghostmane, and I was listening to an interview with the guitarist, and he was like, dude, everyone was there as the opening band started. They all bought our merch, and they were like, holy shit. These bands are playing instruments. This is sick.
Yeah.
We've never seen something like this. Like, that's so cool.
It's cool that we can just, like, revert to what it was in the good old days.
Yeah.
And it's so fresh to these, like, even the generation below us. Because we're all still in our early 20s.
Yes.
This next generation that's coming up, they really haven't seen real bands.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even us, and especially generations before us did. It's been so...
I would love to expose some, like, hip-hop kids to, like... you know, like rowdy live music, rowdy like band style music.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
like real drums, real drums.
When I first started going to, you know, punk, hardcore, metal shows and stuff like that, it was a lot more closed off. And I think that these days, you know, with the turns, you know, these tours that are blending different genres, and I think that with the ease of streaming, everything's more fluid.
Yeah.
And there's less, you know, I mean, you could become like, you know, a fan of black metal and, you know, indie hip hop, and it doesn't matter because you could put it all in one playlist and there's way less gatekeeping and judging of.
Yeah, all the lines are blurring.
Boundary genres are, yep, are all blended together. It's cool, man. I love it.
It's cool. And I feel like it's kind of, it's just evolution with everything, right? Mm-hmm. And it's like, and I'm even noticed as I get older, I'm even more of an elitist on some stuff and have noticed gatekeeper tendencies. But no, it's like, that's what this is all about. I've never understood the gatekeeper-y side of music, but I've always been nervous of it, if that makes sense. Like, I've always, especially being a band like us that sounds like we do, we were never heavy enough to be like a real metalcore, deathcore band, a pop punk band. We weren't traditionally post-hardcore. We kind of existed within all of these worlds, but weren't exactly a part of it. And then again, when we were just a local band, we were playing, we just wanted to play any show. Like I said, Tarissus, we opened for Nile one time.
Oh, wow.
That was rough. I mean,
we would just,
for us,
and then
the Ida Claire War shows, even, like, we were not even near deathcore. We were
whatever you can get, man. Open up to a new genre, you know? You can't just always preach to the choir. You gotta, you know, how are you gonna get new fans if you play to the same kind of, you know, shows?
Absolutely. So. Well, even into getting into touring, we would tour with bands have more cred in the hardcore scene, like Insurgents and Motives and like Castaway, and like that was a lot of like our first even national, they're not national, but like our first like touring across the whole US was with like more hardcore adjacent bands.
Yeah, playing in like
hardcore adjacent shit. And then we're the only band that
people crowd killing.
Like, yeah, in like the back of an Italian restaurant in Buffalo or something like that.
Dude, one of my favorite moments on tour ever is we played that show. It's Casa Di Francesco's in Buffalo, New York.
Beautiful Italian restaurant.
They run shows out of the back. And it's like it was by like a Buffalo hardcore promoter.
It was
like,
so unbelievably violent.
Which this promoter was moshing so hard the entire night.
I didn't know it was the promoter. I thought it was some crazy kid moshing, and then I settle at the end of the night. And like, that's like, the kid I'm settling.
I was like, Jesus. Oh, you're the guy that jumped off my merch table into the crowd. That was great.
Yeah, thanks, man.
He's settling with me and he goes, "You know, man, I really didn't want to book you guys on this show. I wasn't a fan of you. I thought you guys were going to suck. But after watching you guys tonight, your records don't do you justice, man. You guys are sick. You're welcome back anytime."
And you're like, that's kind of a compliment.
I always took it as one. But it was just so funny being like this. We never really knew what world we fit in.
Yeah.
And now that we're able to do something like I feel like The Plot in You is the best example of a band that I think that we fit in really well with.
Totally.
And it was a fan base that really understood us.
Yeah.
But so grateful we got to do DIY hardcore tours for 6 years.
Yeah.
They were fun.
They were so much fun.
But they were, it's what made us us.
Yeah.
That's awesome. They were formative. For sure.
And it's cool because, again, I think it gives you character, too, because we didn't just have fight riffs and just have breakdowns.
We were still trying to have hooks.
And if we could win over a crowd of people that did not give a shit.
Face tattoos, crowd killing each other.
Mouth guards and gloves, you know?
And it's like, well, we always had mosh parts. And that was going back into, this is kind of like a writing process, but that was what I was going to say about like what I think has been cool about our writing process with our band. So we've always been on the heavy spectrum of music, but we've always been able to like when we do choruses and radio rock stuff, we lean into just making it the best it can be. Not just like, oh, other bands on Octane use these couple chords and have melodies like this, so let's do that. It's like,
Let's if we're going to do a radio rock song, let's do the best radio rock.
We really, a lot of our music is very ADHD driven. So, I mean, we will just commit very hard to like any style that we are trying to do, even if it's like multiple styles within a song. Like, we don't want to hold back and like half ass.
I think that's something you can hear in a lot of like modern rock or active rock, if you will, is I think and maybe not everyone can, but at least I sure can. You can tell when a song is genuine or not.
Sure.
And I think there's a lot of disingenuine music out there where it's like you can clearly tell that this chorus and this structure main riff was written because it sounds like what's doing well on modern rock radio, but then they want to be a little edgy, so then they put like a bow, kind of breakdown.
Yeah. Edgy.
And it's just so boring, and I'm so over it.
Yeah.
And as a band that's doing well on radio, like, we do not want to play this game, like, and that's what I think has been cool is we've never, like, when we do heavy or when we do light or rock or whatever, we do it to the best it can be. When we do heavy, it's not just so we can add an edgy part to a song. It's because we also love heavy music and have done hardcore tours for years, and it's like we really respect heavy music, and so we don't want to do like fake heavy.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
You don't want to dumb it down or bastardize it.
And like, it has to be interesting. It's like, if you're going to put a breakdown in a song, make it something that's going to turn heads. Otherwise, just write a...
Totally.
Yep. Yep.
So 2023, guys, we're, you know, as is now 2023, you guys, I'm assuming, have some cool stuff planned, or at least, you know, have some stuff on the horizon?
We're mobbing.
Oh, yeah. I mean, tour with Pop Evil and The Word Alive will be out.
Wow.
I think it's mid-March through April, kind of all across the U.S.
Awesome.
So we'll be out with them. You know, come hang out at a show, come party. You know, we're definitely a live band. So
yes.
If you want to have a good time and really enjoy the record for what it is, then
you
come,
know, I didn't
come see
like
it live.
You guys, and I wasn't gonna book you guys on Loud and Local, but then you guys were here, and you guys are welcome back anytime, man.
Wow, dude,
thank
you so
brother,
much.
Thank you.
But yeah, we're on tour. We're doing Pop Evil, Word Alive. We'll probably do some shows around it too, and from there too. Unfortunately, Seattle isn't on there, but for all of our local friends, we haven't forgotten about you. I do apologize that some of these tours we've done lately haven't come through here. It's not our choice, so stop leaving us mean comments on our social media about how we don't like our hometown.
We love our hometown.
Have a say sometimes,
sure.
But we really do love you guys, and we're gonna do some cool. I don't know exactly what it is yet. Probably by the time this interview airs, there's gonna be some more fine line stuff. But
nice.
We love you, Seattle, and the Northwest in general. We have some cool stuff up our sleeve. We've really been tossing around the idea of doing a headliner this summer. Like
do
I
it.
Said, we don't have. This is just purely
Climate Pledge Arena.
Yes,
Climate Pledge Arena, baby. Yeah,
weekend opening for you guys.
There we go.
It's gonna happen. But yeah, we're just gonna take this thing to the top, or at least as close to the top as it'll let us without getting shot down.
Yeah.
So
That's
we're just
awesome.
Here for it, man, and we're really excited to take 2023 by whatever we can take it by, and we just want to continue to make moves and just have fun with my best friends is really all I want.
Hell yeah! So 2023. It's going to look huge. Cult Mentality is out now. Before we go, let's go around the room. Favorite Northwest bands of all time.
Ooh.
And it could be the Legends, or it could be bands that you grew up just digging.
Okay.
It could be Monsters Scare You or Nirvana.
I got this. I think one of my favorite local bands of all time, has to be Astor House.
Okay, they're so good.
Facts.
We've been playing shows with Astor House since they were Jar of Rain. They're like the most incredible three people. Jar then Jar of Rain, and then Astor House. But they did just like one of those bands that you see them live and you're like, what the hell is going on?
Yeah.
Like they rip. So shout out Astor House.
Shout out John. Shout out Russ.
Such
some of the
nice
most
guys.
Talented people I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Now who else? What about for you guys?
Well, I mean, naturally for me, Fall of Troy, because Thomas, and just very impactful.
Absolutely.
He took you under his wing.
Yeah, but like kind of a little more like niche. So this band, Dismal Thinkings.
Okay.
Yep.
Shout out Mitch Baker, produced them. Shout out Jacob Sloniker, their drummer. Went to high school with him. They're just like a really cool indie emo band that I listen to their records all the time.
Nice.
Just like really meaningful music. But yeah.
What do you got, Benny?
So to give the generic answer, because I'm sure I'll give a little ADHD answer real quick, but I've always like heard about the love of Nirvana my whole life, and I've always loved Nirvana, but I'm a little younger, so I wasn't there for like the transition of Nirvana straight up changing music.
Yeah.
But especially like since we started working with like bigger producers and getting into this industry more, it's still something that's talked about almost on a daily basis. Is like there has never been a band that's changed music overnight in our recent years like Nirvana. And so I've just been trying to find a different appreciation for them. And I remember I was on a long drive on tour one time, and I just listened to Nevermind from front to back. And I was just like,
Man, like,
God damn.
This is so good.
Yeah, oh my, like, oh, they really did that. That's so good.
Sweet. And so, as someone that's, and I've never, I was also just kind of over it for a second. Sure. I've rediscovered how much I love that band and, awesome. And how impactful they were. But, like, I'll go to, I mean, Fall of Troy, Blood Brothers, Gatsby's American Dream.
Nice.
What else can I get? I mean, I do. I'm always gonna love Monsters Scare You.
Sunny Day Real Estate.
Sunny Day Real Estate.
Shout out Redmond, Washington.
Foo Fighters on a Technicality. Yes. Queensryche.
He said name one band. You've named like eight.
But, he said name bands.
Oh, okay. My bad.
That have made an impact on you or that you like, and it's all of them because I love them all, man.
Yeah.
Himsa!
Shout out John.
And
dude.
Aris.
It's a crime to not.
Yes, and Aris.
You know what's the worst thing, too, is literally, like, the second he asked this question, I was like, Himsa. And then you guys answered.
You did say the ADHD answer, so nice. you know, the ADHD.
I went on that Nirvana tangent.
It works. Yep.
But Himsa takes number one for me.
Nice.
And John takes number one as people in the scene for me.
Absolutely. He's my OG. Yes. He's everybody's OG.
Yep.
Yep. Dude, it's John Pettibone. I mean, I would consider that he took me under his wing, and he, especially when I turned 18, but even like before he realized I was under his wing, like I was like a 15-year-old dude the
fuck off. Oh, I'm sure.
And I took every time I ever got a little bit of a loud talking to, it was very much for good reason, and I knew if John was telling me, it was like for the right reasons.
Yep.
And I never ever ever wanted to disappoint John. He was like my dad.
Absolutely.
Like, I never ever ever.
Well, one of the guardians and gatekeepers of our local metal hardcore.
In the best way.
And it's always for a positive reason.
Yes.
So. Unless you're like a like belligerently drunk and he's kicking you out.
Yeah. So. I remember.
It's a good reason.
Yeah.
For him to be doing
or smoking too close to the door.
Oh my dude! Every show we've played probably 1,000 shows.
I've
at
been the guy telling
show.
You to not smoke at the door.
There
many
you go.
Time.
There you go.
Yep.
But I'll never forget. This is like a handful of years back. But it was I'd say right when we were starting to make our transition from local band to like solid DIY touring band. And John had always like been nothing but cool to me. But he's always given a about our sound.
Yeah.
Because, again, legend. And I remember we sound checked one time at Elko, and John was there watching it. And he comes up to me after, he's like, "Yo, that song you just sound checked, I haven't heard it before." I was like, "No, it's a new one." He's like, "It's actually a pretty good one." And I was like,
defining moment.
Dude, let's go!
That's sick, dude.
Life
guys,
complete.
Dude, it's awesome to have you guys up here. Your first in studio rock radio station.
Dude,
you
thanks
guys
so
are
much
getting
for having us, man.
Yeah, it's been a blast.
Tour.
Absolutely, man. And you unleashed a merch assault on us. So I'm gonna go around and I'm gonna pass these out in people's cubbies.
Please, and, give it to everyone.
Absolutely, guys. Any final words for KISW?
Hola, bitch, hola.
There you go.
There it is.
Nice.
Hey, come see us play live. I dare you.
I dare you.
See what happens.
Nice. Avoid
Thanks.
Loud and local. Thanks, guys.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Kevin.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Well, yeah, we're on tour. We're doing for Pop Evil Word Alive. We'll probably do some shows around it, too, and from there, too. Unfortunately, Seattle isn't on there, but for all of our local friends, we haven't forgotten about you. I do apologize that some of these tours we've done lately haven't come through here. It's not our choice, so stop leaving us mean comments on our social media about how we don't like our hometown.
We love our hometown.
We have a say sometimes,
sure.
But we really do love you guys, and we want to... We're gonna do some cool. I don't know exactly what it is yet. Probably by the time this interview airs, there's gonna be some more fine line stuff. But
nice.
We love you, Seattle, and the Northwest in general. We have some cool stuff up our sleeve. We've really been tossing around the idea of doing a headliner this summer. Like
do
I
it.
Said, we don't have. This is just purely
Climate Pledge Arena.
Yes,
Climate Pledge Arena, baby. Yeah,
weekend opening for you guys.
There we go.
It's gonna
there
happen. But yeah, we're just gonna take this thing to the top, or at least as close to the top as it'll let us without getting shot down.
Yeah.
We're just awesome. Here for it, man, and we're really excited to take 2023 by whatever we can take it by, and we just want to continue to make moves and just have fun with my best friends is really all I want.
Hell yeah. So 2023 is gonna look huge. Cult Mentality is out now. Before we go, let's go around the room. Favorite Northwest bands of all time.
Ooh.
And it could be the legends, or it could be bands that you grew up just digging.
Okay.
It could be Monster Scare You or Nirvana.
I got this. I think one of my favorite local bands of all time, it has to be Astor House.
Okay, they're so good.
Facts. We've been playing shows with Astor House since they were Jar of Rain. They're like the most incredible three people.
Jar then nice Jar of guys. Rain.
Yes, Jar then Jar of Rain, and then Astor House. But they did just like. One of those bands that you see them live and you're like, what the hell is going on?
Yeah.
Like, they rip. So, mm-hmm. Shout out Astor House.
Shout out John. Shout out Russ.
Such
some of the
nice
most
guys.
Talented yeah. people I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Now, who else? What about for you guys?
Well, I mean, naturally for me, Fall of Troy. Because
yes.
Thomas and just very impactful.
Absolutely.
He took you under his wing.
Yeah. But like, kind of a little more, like, niche. So, this band, Dismal Thinkings.
Okay.
Yep.
Shout out Mitch Baker, produced them. Shout out Jacob Sloniker, their drummer. Went to high school with him. They're just like a really cool indie emo band that
cool.
I listen to their records all the time.
Nice.
Just like really meaningful music. But yeah.
What do you got, Benny?
Well, so to give the generic answer, because I'm sure I'll give a little ADHD answer real quick. But I've always like heard about the love of Nirvana my whole life. And I've mm-hmm. always loved Nirvana, but I'm a little younger. So I wasn't there for like the transition of Nirvana straight up changing music.
Yeah.
But especially like since we started working with like bigger producers and getting into this industry more, it's still something that's talked about almost on a daily basis. Is like there has never been a band that's changed music overnight in our recent years like Nirvana.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've just been trying to find a different appreciation for them. And I remember I was on a long drive on tour one time and I just listened to Nevermind from front to back. And I was just like, man,
God damn,
this is so good.
Yeah, they really did that. That's so good.
Sweet. And so as someone I was also just kind of over it for a second.
Sure.
I've rediscovered how much I love that band
and
how impactful they were. But like, Fall of Troy, Blood Brothers, Gatsby's American Dream.
Nice.
What else can I get? I mean, I'm always gonna love Monster Scare You.
Sunny Day Real Estate. Shout out Redmond, Washington.
Foo Fighters on a Technicality.
Yes.
Queensryche.
He said name one band. You've named like eight.
he said name bands.
Oh, okay. My bad.
That have made an impact on you or that you like. And it's all of them, because I love them all, man.
Yeah.
Himsa.
Himsa.
Shout out John.
And Aris.
It's a crime to not.
Yes, and Aris.
You know what's the worst thing too is literally like the second he asked this question, I was like Himsa.
Right?
And then you guys answered.
You did say the ADHD answer, so
nice.
You know, the ADHD.
I went on that Nirvana tangent.
Yeah.
Himsa takes number one for me.
Nice.
And John takes number one as people in the scene for me.
Absolutely. He's my OG.
Yes.
He's
everybody's OG.
Yeah.
Dude, John Pettibone. I mean, I would consider that he took me under his wing, and he, especially when I turned 18, but even like before he realized I was under his wing, like I was like a 15% dude.
I'm sure.
And I took every time I ever got a little bit of a loud talking to, it was very much for good reason. And yep. I knew if John was telling me, it was like for the right reasons.
Yep.
And I never, ever, ever wanted to disappoint John. He was like yep. my dad.
Absolutely. Like,
I never, ever, ever.
Well, one of the guardians and gatekeepers of our local metal hardcore.
In the best scene, way.
And it's always for a positive reason.
Yes. So.
Unless you're like a like belligerently drunk and he's kicking you out.
Yeah. So. I remember...
It's a good reason
yeah.
for him to be doing
or smoking too close to the door.
Oh, my. Dude, every show. We've played probably 1,000 shows at El Corazon.
I've been the guy
every
telling
show.
You to not smoke at the door many times.
There you go.
Yep. But I'll never forget. This is like a handful of years back. But it was, I'd say, right when we were starting to make our transition from local band to mm-hmm. like solid DIY touring band. And John had always like been nothing but cool to me, but he's always given a about our sound.
Yeah.
Because, again, legend. And I remember we soundchecked one time at Elko, and John was there watching it. And he comes up to me after, he's like, "Yo, that song you just soundchecked, I haven't heard it before." I was like, "No, it's a new one." He's like, "It's actually a pretty good one." And I was like,
defining moment.
Dude, let's go!
That's sick. That's sick, dude.
Life
guys,
complete.
Dude, it's awesome to have you guys up here. Your first in studio rock radio station.
Dude,
you
thanks
guys
so much
are
for having us, man. You've given
us
this
blast.
Tour.
Absolutely, man. We and you unleashed a merch assault on us. So I'm gonna go around and I'm gonna pass these out in people's cubbies.
Please and, give it to everyone.
Absolutely, guys. Any final words for KISW?
Hola, bitch, hola.
There you go.
There it is.
Nice.
Hey, come see us play live. I dare you.
I dare you.
See what happens.
Nice. Avoid
Thanks.
Loud and local. Thanks, guys.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Kevin.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Get smoother, brighter skin instantly in one easy step. Dermalogica's Daily Microfoliant gives you the smooth, glowy skin you want without damaging your skin barrier. This gentle exfoliating powder activates with water to smooth out rough texture and brighten skin. It's powerful enough to deliver results, yet gentle enough to use every single day, even on sensitive skin. See the results for yourself. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at cart for an exclusive free gift with $65 purchase.